Looking forward to another season of adventure through the national parks, another season of trivia and drag queens and games along the way?
Then be sure to join us, your hosts, Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan of Gaze at the National Parks, when our seventh season launches on September 23rd, 2024.
And if you can't wait till then, maybe revisit some of your favorite parks, trails, and trail mix episodes in the meantime with our episode finder.
Click the link in our show notes, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make navigating our library of episodes as simple as a few clicks.
Happy trails, and see you again September 23rd. So what does a light day of hiking mean to you?
To me, it means that we're wearing exactly the same shirt.
It does.
Which we're doing right now.
We are.
That's right. That's right. How did we come to both having this shirt?
I love how this is like totally in opposition to the question, but sure. Well, a long time ago, there was an old woman who lived in a shoe.
She fashioned two shirts identical in size and color.
And dignity.
And pattern.
in fair Verona, where our story lies.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right.
They were a pandemic purchase.
They were. We happened to both look on the same site at the same sale.
The little Shea Crew.
Won't say where. We won't say where. And bought the same shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That's
unbeknownst.
Right. Unbeknownst. Mm-hmm. But what does a light day of hiking look like for us? Well, I giggle a little bit when I hear you ask that question because we have intended...
Because are they?
What's that?
Because are there any?
Are there any? Yeah, we've intended light hiking days before, and that never becomes a thing.
No.
I think like the least amount we've ever done on a light day is between 9 and 11 miles.
Yeah.
Which for some people would be a very, very heavy day of
hiking.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I think the most miles we've done... we've definitely done a marathon in a day. Maybe not on trails.
Right.
But... I think the most we ever did on trails was 19 miles. It was between 19 and 23, I'm pretty sure. We had a few pretty long days.
Right.
I don't know that we've ever reached like 26.
No, I don't think so.
On trails, but no. Around there. Light days. I mean, we're terrible at taking rest days.
No, absolutely.
And
then we wonder why our bodies hate us.
And then we're like, we're so tired.
And sore.
And I know.
Why?
Well, remember like last summer when we went to Seattle?
Yeah.
And we were like, well, we had hiked Olympic. We had hiked Mount Rainier. And then we were like, yeah, we're going to go to Seattle and just like decompose.
Yeah.
That's it. Decompose.
That's what I do every night.
Decompress.
Yeah.
For a couple of days. But what did we do? We got on our feet and we walked Seattle.
Like 12 miles each day.
Each day.
Easily.
But we enjoyed it.
We did.
We liked it.
Because we're people who like to walk.
We do like to walk.
It's
we
true.
Walk all the time. Mm-hmm. So light days.
It's a relative term for us.
A relative term. I don't know that we've actually discovered it yet.
Mm-mm.
No. Maybe we will this season.
Perhaps.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national parks.
Father, you will follow you there.
At the national parks.
Father, you will follow you there.
At the national parks.
Father, you will follow you there.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while hiking and exploring the land, also known as Olympic National Park, that we are in the traditional and stolen lands of the Lower Elwha, Klallam, Jamestown Skollam, Port Gamble Skollam, Skokomish, Quinault, Ho, Quileute, and Macaw people.
Today we're talking about Mount Eleanor.
We are.
And my body just like seized and got sore thinking about Mount Eleanor.
The trickery.
This is easily one of the hardest hikes we've ever done.
I mean, we can wait until we get to Lady Karen Stone about
it. Oh, we can.
For sure.
But I just want to let the listener know that this was no joke. Kicked our ass in a major way.
Oh, absolutely.
Screaming, crying, perfect storms.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
So let's start with how we found Mount Eleanor in the first place.
Well, so Mount Eleanor is actually not within the national park. That being said, it's close by and you should definitely do it because yes, it was an ass kick.
I mean, if you want that kind of challenge.
It is an incredible hike.
Oh, it is
one of my favorites. It is a hard, hard hike, but it is an awesome hike. So as we last left off, we had just finished hiking in the Shady Lane area of Olympic National Park, which is on the east side of the park, kind of in the lower section. We knew that we wanted to do some more hikes at this point in this section, and we were pretty sure we weren't going to get down here again. Time did just not allow for it.
So we took ourselves over to the ranger booth, told the ranger what we were looking to do, the kind of hiking we like to do, what we were curious about, and asked about what was available here in this section of the park. The ranger mentioned Mount Rose and Mount Eleanor,
which are things that we had passed on the way in and kind of dog-eared. So we were already in syncopation with what the ranger was telling us.
And so one of the things she said was that Mount Eleanor would be a really good hike, though there might be some snow. But even if there was, it would be doable. Even though we didn't necessarily have snow equipment, it would be okay. Yes. Microspikes would have been an impediment because the snow was likely very mushy.
Right.
And also, microspikes don't do well on non-snow. Like just ground.
You kind of take them off.
You take them off for the ground. You put them on for the snow. And so that's why she was saying like, we'd probably be fine without them.
Yeah, just in our boots. So the hike is actually, as I was mentioning, not in the national park, but it is in the adjacent Olympic National Forest. So we have to leave the national park and head out from here. It's still relatively early at this point. It's 3:30 when we're leaving Shady Lane. And we are in Olympic. This is June 24th, so the solstice has just passed. We're still in longest day time of the year, so we knew, and we were much further north than we currently live in New Jersey, so we knew that we'd have probably a decent amount of daylight at this point.
So there are a couple of different places to access the Mount Eleanor Trail. There is a lower trailhead, and there is an upper trailhead. If one takes the lower trailhead, it is a gain of 3,400 feet, and it is a total of 5.9 miles.
And it takes about, they say, about 5 to 6 hours to do the trail if you're doing it from there.
From the lower. Mm-hmm. If you do it from the upper, which was recommended to us, it was 2,339 feet of elevation gain, and then in total, 3.7 miles there and back.
And about 3-ish to 4-ish hours is what is recommended.
So the park ranger recommended driving to the upper trailhead and doing the upper trailhead.
Specifically because of time and just having time to,
and like,
you know,
losing that 1,000 feet of elevation gain.
Right, right. So after we talk to the ranger, we pack up the car and we leave the section of the park. And we had basically someone driving, like tailgating us the whole time down the lake, which there's nowhere for anybody to pass you because this is an incredibly narrow road and it's a two-way traffic situation. But we kind of like pulled off and they just eked on by us. And it just was like, oh, people are assholes everywhere, even in the national parks.
And even on a dirt road.
Yeah, exactly.
So we accidentally passed the turn for Mount Eleanor because there was no signage in the direction we were headed. So we have to do a quick K-turn. And Mike was driving at this time, and it was going to be steep. So this counted as your second half of the day driving.
Right, because I think we've been good in recent years about being like, we have a 2-hour drive. Okay, I'll drive there. You drive back kind of situation.
Right.
So Dusty drove out to Shady Lane. And now this was my quote unquote return trip driving.
And the drive up to this upper trailhead for Mount Eleanor was incredibly steep, really steep.
Yeah.
We definitely had to use the park map for directions to help us know the distance for where we needed to be for the trailhead. And it was a gravel road the entire time. And our rental car still smelling of cigarettes.
Well, I think even more prominently now because it was in the sun in the parking lot. Yep. And so it was just like, oh, this is cigarettes for sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we passed the lower trailhead parking area. And we still have to keep going up for the upper trail parking. And as we were going up, we were like, wow, we're really losing a lot of trail that we're not doing because we're going to do it from the upper trail.
Right.
And in hindsight, incredibly glad about that.
Yeah.
Because I would have been screaming.
Well, I think we would have absolutely been down in the dark too.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
So we start to arrive at the upper trailhead. But as we get close to the top, we end up passing this electric vehicle whose brand name we won't repeat, parked on the side of the road. And we were wondering why it was there. And according to our directions, we weren't really near the parking just yet. But as we continue to drive up the road, there's a fairly large washout, literally like a large section
like
of
a gorge
like of the road is gone, at least 3 feet across.
Yeah.
And we're like, we're not going to like try and jump.
All right, Thelma.
Right, exactly.
No, we definitely were like, okay, well, this is not manageable for us to continue to drive. But according to the map and what we could see, it really wasn't that far to the top. So I made a very calculated and incredibly scary K-turn here because this was, if you did poorly, you were rolling off the edge of this mountain.
Yeah, this was masterfully done by you. I just want you to know. This is the one moment in my life where I'm going to compliment your driver.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
And so it was clear to see why the electric vehicle, whose name we will not repeat, was parked on the side of the road there because they obviously could not get past this. Yeah.
Right.
So we park behind this car, we gear up, and the owner of the car is walking, or we assume the owner is walking down the rest of the road, the gravel road, from up above with a ski backpack on with skis in it. And so this was an interesting kind of moment for us to kind of just be like, okay,
interesting.
Yeah.
So we chat with him for a minute. He tells us some sedans have been crossing the washout. He said he wouldn't do it though, and we thought that was the right call, so we did not. Also, it was a rental.
Yeah.
You know what
not our car. Yeah.
So we gear up and then we just head on up the road, and as we're walking up the road,
which is steep. This was a steep road to be hiking up. We see notices essentially on the signboard at the trailhead that's like, oh, you're supposed to leave your park pass in the window. But the ranger didn't tell us that at the bottom when we were at the ranger cabin in Shady Lane. So we just were like, we're not going back. And I don't think anyone's going to come up this point late in the day to check. So, all right, we're going to just chance it and hope that everything's good.
There is a tiny little parking lot here and some like picnic area. Uh-huh. And so this is where we're starting the hike. And we had climbed quite a bit of elevation in the car, about 2,600 feet already even start.
Yeah.
So we set off on the trail on the first section of the trail, which was going to be some of our biggest gains of elevation on the trail. Though I'm just going to say it right here. At no point on this trail, literally at zero moment, did I feel any amount of incline relief at all. This was a trail that, in my memory, went straight up and didn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time I got any decline relief was when we turned around to come down.
Right.
And that the angle of
the grade,
of the elevation basically didn't change the whole time.
No, it was intense. I mean, that is the one thing that is true of this hike, is that the grade is intense the entire way, but the first section, like the first third of the hike and the last third of the hike, actually have the biggest gains of elevation. The middle is slightly less so.
Because if you think about it, we're gaining 2,400 feet essentially across 1.8 miles.
Yeah.
That's a lot of feet to gain in not a long distance.
No.
So that means it's really tilted up. Yeah. Pretty high. pretty high grade.
Yeah, yeah.
And they weren't kidding about this grade right off the bat.
Mm-mm. So this first section is essentially walking through the woods along a ridgeline. It is very steep, but we did manage to get through it pretty quickly because it's soft forest floor for the most part, even though you're on this ridge, or even though we are on this ridge. I think the both of us had energy to burn, which was good considering as far as terrain went on this hike, this was the easiest part of the trail because it was the least snowy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. As a little foreshadow for later.
Seriously.
Yeah. We pass two people and we say hello. Then another set of people who comment about us taking a night hike. And we were like, oh, is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
And I think there was definitely some initial concern here about doing this hike because of darkness.
Right.
Because we had started this hike at 4:43 in the afternoon. And so, yeah, we were definitely a little bit curious if daylight was going to be on our side or not.
Right. But having also experienced hiking in the dark in Capitol Reef National Park with nothing but cell phone flashlights to help us along the way, we are pros at this point and always have a headlamp in our bag.
Oh, we do.
For situations as such. So when this gentleman mentioned the night hike, I asked, oh, did you go up the winter route? Because that was what was recommended to us. And he said no. But there was quite a lot of snow up there, again, foreshadowing. So the winter route was the ranger-recommended route for us to use because it was supposed to have been easier for us to surmount, but the ranger really wasn't sure how much snow was on that route at that point.
Because there's also a summer route.
The summer route is 0.6 of a mile shorter than the winter route.
Right.
So we chose the longer path.
We did.
Yeah.
We did, because that's what we were told to do. So then it brought us to the next section, which was some switchbacks. So we do this initial grunt, which I'm talking 35 degrees on average, I would say, this incline grade.
Sure. Although it felt like 45.
Most felt like 45 a lot of the time. Yeah. 35 is
generous.
Very generous here. So we get to the bottom of what would be eventually 14 switchbacks, and they had a very steep grade. But there are railings on the sides to help.
Yep.
And so we're also gaining a lot of elevation here.
Right, just by the back and forth. When we get to the top of the switchbacks, we only have to walk through the woods a little bit more before we start to see a little bit of snow on the sides of the trails. And it's not much further up past the switchbacks that we begin to see signs for the two separate routes. And this is where we need to make a choice.
And with that, let's take our first break. All right, Mike, we're playing Commission an Album.
We are, and we're doing something different this time.
Oh, we are.
And I'm going to explain that right now.
Okay, great.
So typically, when we play Commission an Album, we will give a topic, and then we essentially are like, who's writing this album?
Yeah.
Or we give an artist, and then we say, what book or piece of cinema art do you want them to respond to create an album? But I thought this would be fun. So I would like to commission a covers album of The Sound of Music.
Oh.
And I would like you, and this is a collaborative piece. So I'm going to ask for you to pick three songs from The Sound of Music and give me the three artists that would cover those pieces of music.
Okay. Okay, great. So songs from The Sound of Music covered by people. Okay, so immediately we're choosing Climb Every Mountain. That is an iconic song.
Sure.
We also have to choose the title song.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to include the prelude. My day in the hills has come to an end.
I figured this was appropriate considering the hiking that we're doing today.
Yes, it did feel that way very much. Yes. And then I think we have to do Edelweiss, which is also a very iconic song from The Sound of Music. I'm going to be a bad girl and throw in a fourth one.
Great.
The fourth one I would add in is going to be, okay, so we're not doing My Favorite Things because Christmas has adopted that and the holidays and like a million people have covered it. We're not doing Do Re Mi. And I'm going to say this, we're not we're not going to do Lonely Gothard, even though I love Lonely Gothard.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do how do you solve a problem like Maria.
Okay, great.
So let's talk about what artist. Okay, well, how do you solve a problem like Maria? I want a really sort of like punk dance bop to that. And so I'm going to give that to Chapel Roan.
Great.
Chapel Roan is going to do how do you solve a problem like Maria.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. The climb every mountain. Celine, where
sure.
It has to be epic and big and dramatic sweeping. And sweeping and like inspiring. So we're giving it to Celine. Okay, great. Edelweiss is like quiet, demure, if you will, and kind of precious. So I think, okay, so this is what we're going to do for Edelweiss. We're going to go bluegrass, and okay. We're giving it to the trio, the iconic trio of Dolly Parton, Linda Ronstadt, and Emmylou Harris.
Oh.
And I'm going to bring on Nickel Creek to help them.
Great.
Yes. So.
You're really thinking about this.
I am really thinking about this. This is, I care very much about the soundtrack of The Sound of Music.
This is why I did this for
you. Exactly. Okay, great. So now the title song. All right. I'm giving this cover to Sarah Bareilles.
Oh, yeah. That's a perfect match.
She would nail it.
She would?
Yeah. Because you got to sing big and you got to sing quiet. And it's about, I don't know, self-discovery. God, she'd nail it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who I'm giving it to.
Great. And that's Commission an Album. So we make it to the top of these switchbacks. We walk a little through the woods and we come to this juncture point. And this is the juncture for the winter and summer routes, the aforementioned routes. And this is where we run into another hiker. We had obviously seen some people already on the trail, but this hiker was named Matthew. And he looked as though he was coming down the winter route when we happened upon him. And I had asked if he had was just coming down, if he was finishing, but he's like, oh no, I'm just taking a peek. I'm trying to see what route I want to go up. And we said, hey, well, our plan is to go up. Would you like to join us? And we basically hiked with Matthew for most of the rest of the hike. He, I think, just moved to Seattle. He was like just in the area. He was like in his 20s. And I think the funniest thing about it was that he had no gear with him. He was no. Like, I have a water bottle and boots and like a sweatshirt lightly draped over my shoulder. I was like, all right, Matthew, you're
roughing
doing it live here.
Yeah, doing it live.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we start to get some actual snow on the trail. But at this point, it wasn't too much snow.
No.
It was just like little spurts of snow here and there. As we are walking and we're still heading up and up and up,
mm-hmm.
but and it is snow on incline.
This was less steep. This is that middle section.
This is less steep. It's still steep.
It's steep,
but, less
but it's
steep.
Less steep. Yeah.
There were some big sections of snow we had to cross, but we're also getting some bare sections too where the snow has melted. We climb through some staircase-like parts of the trail. We pass some really big dead trees. And then there is a giant snow hill with lots of footprints and what looked to be like a large carved groove in the snow. I mean, it looked like it had been done by a sled.
Yeah, it was a little confusing for us, but this will come back around. I definitely thought of the skier in this moment, but also was like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, this was too big of an area for a skier to have made this divot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we start to trudge. This is where the trudging is happening. So we start to trudge a bit more up this kind of snowy incline. And we hear some voices to the side of the trail. And we notice that there's two hikers that are kind of taking a break on this bare earth area where there's just no snow. So they're just hanging out. And we just keep climbing. We do get some more bare trail here eventually. And then we, of course, hit more snow. And this is sort of... From this point on, most of our lot for the rest of this hike is on snow. We both have poles with us, which is incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
Matthew has his water bottle and his
sweatshirt. Right. Right.
Yeah.
So the poles were super helpful, especially for balance purposes. And you could like dig them into the snow, dig them into the ground and hoist your way up to the next step.
Yeah.
So we climb up a much bigger snowfield, and we had to go through a bush to continue on the trail. That was so strange, having to do that.
Yeah.
And while the trail is mostly well-marked, we do have to start following just footprints.
Yeah.
Because we're like, we don't know where this is headed.
No.
There's no clarity about what's trail and what isn't.
No.
And this was definitely a game of follow the leader with Mike in the front.
What else is new? Uh-huh. I was definitely trying to make smart choices with my footfall here, but the snow is pretty banged up from just the heavy traffic of so many people having gone up this. It means that we just basically have to do the best we can. And like Dusty said, trying to make smart choices here was a little confusing because the field of snow we were hiking was incredibly wide and there was footfall over a great deal of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was kind of like pick what I thought was the best route.
So now we come to the next section, which we're going to call snowfield number one.
Steep snowfield number one.
Steep snowfield number one. Mm-hmm. So for this particular one, we have to literally put our feet into other people's footfalls in the snow in order to keep moving. It was really intense. This was the part of me, this is where I started to get angry. Because I was just like, this is really hard. This is one of the hardest hikes I've ever done. My body is screaming. My body is mad.
Our calves!
Right. Our calves are screaming.
Yeah. I mean, we made our millions here on Only Calves.
Literally. But it was here where we started to actually get landscape around us. And we could see the views from up here. And this was obviously what makes this hike worth it. These views were stunning.
Yeah, it was quite literally some of the most incredible landscape that I have seen at an elevation. It was just this utterly sweeping view, breathtaking.
Of just like green peaks, just with snow caps on them, just dotting the distance with bodies of water in between them.
Yep. It feels honestly, especially with the way the light was at this time, like we were on top of the world. It truly felt like that.
And here, we could even see Mount Rainier. Mm-hmm. We can also see the Cascades. And we can also see Seattle.
Yeah.
Again, we have hoofed it up very high into the air to see all of this.
It was really strange to see Rainier from here, knowing that later in the trip, we were going to be there. Yep. Like, it was like, oh, we'll be there eventually. That's cool. We hit this point where there was like a ledge that we could get off of the steep snowfield for a moment and kind of take the break to take in this view. And it was nice to be able to have that moment, to have the break, to be able to take the majesty in and to just pause, because this was, again, as Dusty said, some of the most intense hiking that we had done.
And this other person, this other hiker was over on what looked like a kind of lookout area, taking it in too. We clocked that as well.
So this other guy starts to engage us in conversation, and he's like, oh, are you guys going up to the top too? And we're like, yeah. He's like, oh, cool. I'm glad that I have other people to to hike near, because this is intense. And we're like, oh, absolutely.
Which brings us to the next section, which we're calling the steepest snowfield.
Yeah.
Steep snowfield number one, followed by the steepest of all snowfields. This section was simply horrific. It was like the highest grade of incline of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it was snow covered.
Yeah, it felt like a 70 degree incline.
Oh,
it was
my
something
God. Yes.
Kind of bananas like that. And I would love to do this hike again when there isn't snow, like later in the season. We were still really, really early in the season for snow melt. So it makes sense that we were experiencing these conditions. But I'm curious, what is this like in August when there's probably no snow on the trail? Well, that wasn't something we were experiencing because, again, this is a section where we are just using the footfalls of others to basically create our path.
Yeah. And the only silver lining here is that with every step we take, the more and more landscape and the more mountains we can see around us. And that is really incredible.
Truly.
Every time that I was angry, I could turn around and see some beautiful stuff. There were some rocks that we had to use as landmarks, mostly because I was like thinking about being on Tamichi Route in Black Canyon of the Gunnison and getting lost. And I was like, I really don't want to get lost on this.
And so speaking of that, we also sort of needed to play that game we played, which was like, okay, I just have to get to that point. And yep. then I just, I can breathe. And then I can focus in on what the next point I'm going to get to is. We do get to a part where the grade eventually changes after a lot of trudging. And this just feels like another slap in the face.
It gets worse.
We have to end up heading on the inner side of a rock fin. This is where I had to sort of beta a little bit and be like, just wait where you're at so I can see what we need to do, because there was this rock fin and some footfalls going to the right of it and to the left of it, and we ended up having to go to the left to come up, but it was very confusing, so I had to trudge up a little both ways to see what made the most sense. And again, the views here are truly out of this world, but our legs were like, I hate you and I want you to die.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. Which brings us to the next section, which we're calling the top of the snowfield and the saddle.
Yeah.
We can see that there's a saddle up ahead, meaning the top of a range.
Kind of the valley-ish below the peaks.
There's clearly stairs built into this trail that we're headed up, but it's all snow covered. So the fact that there are stairs built here means nothing.
Right. We do eventually, I mean, we did have stairs at the beginning that were clear, and we do start to, as we hit the top of this snowfield, we start to get like a little bit more bare trail, and there are some stairs that are visible. There's also a lot of water coming down. So it feels like it's not like rushing down these stairs, but it's wet up here.
And I'm not going to lie, from up here, I was like, I don't know how we're getting down. And I don't usually feel that way.
No.
But I was like, some people had told us, even the ranger had said, you might need to slide down in some of the snow chutes a little bit.
So we noticed that as we're hiking, behind the other hiker that we'd picked up at that overlook, there are two hikers that are now behind him. And I'm pretty far ahead. Dusty and Matthew are hiking like near each other, and then the other hiker is behind them, and then these two new hikers are behind the group. So they're kind of like bringing up the rear of the train here. When we reach the top of the stairs in this kind of barer section, we do run into two hikers who are now on their way down. I questioned them a little bit just to see like how much further we were. The most dreaded question for anyone coming down. I don't know. And they were like, it's great up there. And we're like, yeah, we're just a little worried about getting down. And they were like, oh, did you notice the channels in the snow? We're like, yeah. They're like, you just sit in them and you slide down. And I think that gave me a lot of panic.
Oh, me.
Considering the grade of everything and the idea of stopping.
Right. Like, that was all you're going to do is pick a momentum.
Right. They were like, okay, bye. And they just headed off. I was worried about rocks too. Unexpected rocks. Right. Just like,
we were in shorts.
Yeah.
I was worried about what was going to go up my shorts.
Which is not the case. So after we head through this section that's a little cleaner, where there's less snow, we see that we now have to diagonally cut across another snowfield to one last section of bear trail that's going to bring us to the saddle that we thought might be the end of this hike.
So this truly feels like another slap in the face, because we were sort of through all of the snow only to have to go through more, because we were really done with snow at this point in time, and then we had to go through more.
Mm-hmm.
But it was clear that there was a method to the madness here. We just think that we're going to be done once we hit the saddle. Okay, we're going to get to the saddle, then we're going to be done. I have a little bit of hope here, because I did see a yellow marmot. Marmots will always reactivate me, and I was a tiny little bit reactivated here. And as we pass these larger swaths of snow, we end up finally on a bare trail with wildflowers blooming as we approach the saddle, and we can feel a little bit of relief.
And with that, let's take our next break.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Kurt Response.
Okay, so who is this drag king?
Well, Kurt Response is a no-nonsense drag king. Mm-hmm. It's like this meeting could have been an email.
Yeah, very literal.
I mean, that is like the tagline for curt response. Incredibly snappy, no time. I think curt response was born out of, how are you doing? How am I doing? Like that is, that's the energy that curt response brings to the table. So yeah, like incredibly just snappy, witty gay or witty king who's just like gonna read you for filth.
So I think curt response is a comedy king.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stand-up comedy king. Maybe like does crowd work.
Yeah.
Maybe insults people, roasts people within the crowd work.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
Yeah, I think so.
I like it. I like it. I think curt response has a very 1980s Wall Street power suit look to him.
Oh, okay. Like a Gordon Gekko.
Something
from,
like that.
From Wall Street.
Right. But I think that curt response does lip sync to something. And I think they do a number to Bitch Better Have My Money.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That feels about right.
Yeah.
So it's like hedge fund manager energy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
Banker daddy.
No nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Like you pay to play, pay the toll, or you don't get inside.
Okay. So is there merch sticky notes that are like dollar bill? Very like...
Oh, I like that.
Not like fully graphically detailed, but like lightly, like transparent dollar bill, like sticky notes.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I also like the idea of like a little briefcase on a keychain, but you open it up and inside it's lip gloss.
Oh.
Or chapstick or something like that. Or it is a holder for something specific. Or maybe it's a holder for the key to your safety deposit box.
Sure.
Something like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, great. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Curt response. So we finally make it to the saddle. And the view from here is just incredible. It is breathtaking because there are so many views to take in. It's not what we were seeing behind us the entire way, which, by the way, the way to get the view on the way up is to pause on this incredibly steep grade and swivel the top half of your body so you can see what's behind you, because there's no other way to do it. We would have had it the whole way down, and we did, and good God, it was an incredible view to take all the way down. But this was great because it was flat. The first time we're really getting total flatness, and we just had such a stunning view at this time of
the
day.
The view is really, really stunning. We can see the Cascades. We can see the Olympics. We can see Mount Rainier, and like with all this beautiful water in between and clouds and
like magic hour sun.
Magic hour right and left. Yeah. So is it an incredible view all the way up there? Totally. So let's talk about this. One could stop here, but the trail does keep going. At this moment, I wanted to turn around and go back. And you...
Did not.
You wanted to keep going.
Because we were there, and we weren't done. And yes, we have aborted trails before because they have been too rough, or it wasn't what we expected, or we were just, the exhaustion was there. But I had a little bit more gas in the tank, and I was like, I think we can do this. I don't think we have much further to go. And I just remember you were so exasperated and pissed at me. You were like, I can't believe you would do, I'm cutting out language here, but I can't believe you would do this to me.
Oh, like, is that? I did not say that to you, but
I mean,
my concern at the time, which I voiced, this was an
Oscar-worthy performance of frustration. Mm-hmm.
This was a day of Oscar-worthy performances, but this one in particular was, I was concerned about having enough time, energy, and daylight to get down.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been concerned about getting down, but this one I was like, I literally do not understand how we're physically going to get off of this peak because there's so much snow. I'm afraid we're going to fall and just roll. Like, I mean, I've not been angrier on a trail than I was here.
And I was excited.
And you were excited.
I was.
So we have some sandwiches.
We do. Matthew decides to depart.
Yeah. And we... because you wanted to head up.
Mm-hmm. So at least it wasn't snowy on the trail here. No. It is steep, though, and we are tired.
It is steep, and there are, like, little switchbacks on stairs to go up to this next section.
Yeah.
And I have never been angrier than on these little switchbacks. I was like, now I have to do more switchbacks up.
Mm-hmm.
More. I was so mad. So mad. And tired.
Mm-hmm.
And concerned. Mm-hmm. And scared.
Mm-hmm. So on reflection and looking back at this, what we ended up doing as we got to the saddle was we actually got on the summer route at this point. And so this route takes you around to the right. And this is where we get a pretty spectacular view of Mount Eleanor. And we get to what is our summit here, which I think was actually the summit. I think we actually were there because looking on the map, Mount Eleanor is not an accessible point, at least via trail. You could off trail it, I'm sure. I don't know how difficult that would be or how dangerous. We're not advocating for that. We're just saying it might be a possibility.
But it's more like you get to a point so that you can see it.
Right. And there was such a janky snowfield that we were looking at that we were like, no. We're good. And we were.
I actually was like, veto, we're stopping here.
Yeah. No. I was like, I accept it. So this is where we were like, okay, ready to turn around. So we about face here and we start to head down. I think we might have had another sandwich at the top of the saddle before we headed down because.
Mad.
We were mad. Dusty was more mad than I was. And this is where we hit. This is where we run into the two other hikers that were in the back of our hiking group. The other guy, I don't know what happened to. I think he just turned around. But this is where we meet Daryl and Heather, who were the two other hikers that were actually the hikers I had noticed off to the side taking a break when we were like initially hiking with Matthew, and then the people that were behind us as we were coming up the steeper parts of the trail. They just arrived at the saddle as we were coming down from the quote unquote peak, and we just got to talking to them. We all had agreed that we're going to descend together because they were like, this is perfect for us. We don't need to go any further. And you're like, see, these people, I could have hung out with them.
I know. Seriously.
Mad.
And they were wonderful.
They were.
Okay. So we started heading down and Mike is flying down the trail as typical.
My legs are killing me at this point. Like I'm feeling the cramping, but now it is truly like, oh, we're chasing sunset. We were basically in shadow
we wouldn't have had to chase the sunset had we just turned around when we got to the saddle.
Mm-hmm. I would like you to turn that into lyrics.
Happy to. So we also know that when we get back to the car, in order to get back to our Airbnb, it's a 2-hour drive.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know. It's great. We have to drive all the way back to Port Angeles.
Yep.
And we not only have to figure out dinner, but we have to get up early for another hard day of hiking the next day because we were going to do Klahani Ridge.
Right. That was supposed to be our hardest day of hiking.
And this has easily taken the cake for the whole trip. And I'm not going to, this was the hardest day of hiking on the whole trip.
I think so.
For me personally.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
But we are now hiking with our two new trail friends who are named Daryl and Heather. And I'm doing more of the social lifting for the socializing.
Mm-hmm.
And
because I'm very far ahead.
Which I needed because I needed my mind.
Because you hated me.
not because I didn't hate you at this point. I really hated the circumstance and the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize and understand when we're in a circumstance where you're like, I have been waiting to get up here and I really want to see what's over here. I totally understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't at that point feel like I was so spent that I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I just was mad. There's a difference between being mad and being like, I actually have no physical energy.
Mm-hmm.
I did have the energy. I was just mad. So I was like, okay,
we'll do it.
Filled with rage.
Fueled by rage.
Right. So chatting with them was great. Heather shared with me about being a therapist. Daryl shared with me about being a woodworker. And we have great conversation the whole way down.
So I will say this. The way down actually wasn't as bad because you could kind of like bound down the snow at this point. if you put your heel into the snow and like kind of used your heel, that was sort of like a spike. And that's what I was finding to be very quick about heading down the mountain and not tumbling. And the poles were very helpful here.
And so, what I will say is that what happened to me is that I would do that, but then I would fall and end up in one of those snow chutes. And then I would just slide down. And
graceful, delicate.
I was just like, I was trying to avoid this, but you know what? It didn't feel so bad. And the snow chutes really helped. And frankly, I agree. The way down was not as hard as I thought it was going to be.
And we did it. We make a very fast descent. Most of our time on this was the trudge up, because we are flying down this trail. As we get to points where we are back onto barer earth, this is where I've slowed now, because I think I was just going fast because the snow made it easy. This is where we're just chatting all about national parks, and we're talking about specifically Rainier, because we had told Daryl and Heather that we were headed there next. And it was really lovely to have trail friends. And also, again, like on a trail like this that's difficult and it's late, it was kind of a comfort to have other people to be with too, because we were all in this together.
Agreed. Yeah. We eventually end up back on the switchbacks with the handrails. And as we were talking to Heather and Daryl, they were saying that they had parked at the lower trailhead, and that's where they were headed back to. And so we offered them, we were like, listen, we're at the upper trailhead. Do you want to ride to your car at the lower trailhead? And we were like, we promise we're not serial killers.
Right.
And they were like, we would love that.
Yeah.
So we knew that was the plan when we were headed down.
Once we hit the trailhead itself, there's like a dad and his kids are there having a picnic at the table. And we took another moment here. We were chatting with them for a bit as everybody kind of regrouped on the roadway. And then we made our way back to the car over our little washout gorge. We rearranged some things in the car so we could get everybody in. And then we zipped our way down to the lower trailhead parking.
Where
we dropped Daryl and Heather off. This is where we got to share with them that we had a podcast. We hadn't talked about it. We were like, so we actually have this podcast. You know, we explained everything to them and they were so rad. They were super cool.
The coolest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We dropped them off. I think we were like, are we all hugging? Yes. And so we gave them hugs and then headed down the road, the very steep road, back down to the main kind of forest road, which was also gravelly and dirt, and back onto the highway that would basically take us back to Port Angeles after 2 hours of driving.
That's right. So we decided, we were like, we're too tired to cook dinner. We're just going to get fast food dinner. And I was researching and I was like, oh, great. There's a Wendy's and there's a McDonald's. And we're going to say the names of these places here because, right. We have bones to pick with both of you. So the Wendy's said it was open until 10. The McDonald's said it was open until 11. And we were like, okay, great. So by the time we arrive back in Port Angeles, it's about 10 minutes to 10. And we're like, perfect. Wendy's is still open. So we pull into Wendy's. No, Wendy's is not open. Wendy's is dark. And we were like, it is 9:50. Right now. And
yeah.
You're supposed to be open. And they were not open.
No.
So we were like, okay, well, let's go to the McDonald's. So we go to the McDonald's. And the McDonald's apparently isn't closing at 11. It's closing at 10, which we happen to be in line in plenty of time so that we could get food. And I'm going to let you take over the story now.
So we get into the line at McDonald's and we drive to the drive-through box and we make our order. And this was like, we're going to eat what we feel like because we had a very hard day of hiking. And Dusty's like, I would like a large fries, like with whatever else I'm getting.
I think I wanted two large fries to myself. Yeah, frankly.
So I put the order in and the woman on the other end was like, oh, we're very sorry, but we don't have French fries.
So I'm going to repeat that for those of you who might have missed it. This was McDonald's. And they said they did not have French fries. Now, here's the thing. Let's be real. It's 10 minutes to close. They all want to go home. I know they've cleaned the fryer. They've cleaned it all out. They ran out of French fry stock, but she said they had plenty of chicken nuggets. They had plenty of everything else. So I understand what the situation was. However,
this was the maddest I think I've seen you.
Right.
You
now,
were madder.
I wanna be
you were
clear.
Madder here than you were when we were at the saddle, and I
that
was like,
true.
I want to keep going.
But I did not project any of that anger onto anyone
oh,
else.
No, no except no,
no.
for me.
No, I did not project it onto you.
I mean,
just sat there and stewed.
You were
in it.
Fueled with a quiet rage that I had never seen before. And you, but you diatribed so eloquently. I cannot believe this is McDonald's. You're known for your French fries. And here we are, and it's 10 minutes to close. You should still have fries. Go in the back and get fries. Like, this is all being said to me.
And I'm not saying this to any of the employees, obviously.
This is all to me.
But this was...
I was...
Well, because what I was feeling dying. At the time was betrayal.
Oh.
I was betrayed by French fries, or lack thereof. I was hoping to... find something here.
Solace, perhaps.
Solace. And none was found.
Solace and potatoes.
Yeah. No.
And yeah.
It's like that meme that was like, no matter what you're feeling, there's some kind of potato, some form of potato that will help you. Not in this case. No, there were no potatoes to help me in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say everything was closed, it was not like we could go to the grocery store and get frozen French fries. No, because the grocery store was closed.
Port Angeles was like Sleepy Town, USA.
Sleepy Town.
So, yeah. So, we drove back to our Airbnb and had a curmudgeonly fueled dinner of fast food. And then we hit the sack because the next day, despite the fact that we said that this was one of our hardest days of hiking, the next day was truly an epic adventure.
Okay, let's put Mount Eleanor on the Karen Stone scale. Shall we just say it at the same time? 3, 2, 1.
10.
I would even go to 12 out of 10. Actually, I am going to 12 out of 10. Great. So that is
22 out of 20.
22 Karen Stones out of 20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, it's
however,
on...
I do want to say this. I want to say this. Let's talk about our other 10 out of 10ers or 20s out of 20s, right? Yosemite Falls.
Yeah. Tamichi Route.
Tamichi Route, the Grinnell Glacier overlook from the Highline Trail. Yeah. I would probably do this one again before I did Yosemite Falls again. Mm-hmm. I would do this one again before I did Grinnell Glacier overlook, and ain't that long.
That thing is a beast.
Ooh, beast. We say in place of other words.
Yeah.
And yeah, I still think I would do this before the other
ones. Well, I'd like to do it when it's, like I said, when the trail is not as snow covered, because I'm sure it's wonderful. I mean, I'm sure it's terrible.
And I'm curious about what the summer route is like.
Yeah. So, shorter, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We could also do it from the lower trailhead next time.
Nope. I'm good. But let's end this episode like we end all of our episodes, with some Jeopardy style trivia.
Great.
All right, Mike, why don't you get us started with your category today?
Great. My category is titled Mount Eleanor, and this is all about famous Ellas and Eleanors in history and also media.
Okay.
Great.
I'm ready for you.
For 100, this Eleanor was climbing mountains in her own right. Not only was she First Lady of the United States, but an author, speaker, humanitarian, and fierce advocate for women and people of color.
Who is Eleanor Roosevelt?
That's correct. For 200, this Ella, minus the Nor, is also known as the First Lady of Song and has such hits as Dream a Little Dream of Me, Cheek to Cheek, and Summertime.
Who is Ella Fitzgerald?
That's correct. For 300, this Eleanor, and title of a Beatles song, picks up the rice in the church where the wedding has been, lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
All the Lonely People. Mm-hmm. Who is Eleanor Rigby?
That's correct.
That's such a weird song, and I love it so much.
I know, it's great. For 400, this Eleanor, who refers to herself as an Arizona trash bag on more than one occasion, is definitely, most likely, in the bad place.
Oh, I don't know her last name, but who was Eleanor from The Good Place?
Yeah, who is Eleanor Shellstrop?
Shellstrop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shellstrop! And for 500... this Ella, minus the Nor, is professionally known by this name and has songs which include Green Lights, Royals, Supercut, and Solar Power.
Who is Lord?
That's correct.
Great. So I want you to know
Sweep.
That I almost wrote that exact category.
Great.
But I did not. Instead, I wrote something else, which is, we haven't done one of these in a while, so I hope you're ready for a Mount Eleanor word morph.
Great.
So all of these rhyme with Mount Eleanor.
Great.
And they're all mounts something.
Sure.
But the first section of the word is morphed into something else. So for 100, this is what you might be climbing if you were overcome with aromas and scents on the way up.
What's Mount Smellinor?
That is correct. For 200, this is what you might be climbing if you spent your entire hike casting incantations.
What is Mount Spellinor?
That's right.
Sorry, hang on. Let me take that again. What is Mount Spellinor?
There you go. That's what you would have
because
been
because soon it will be Halloween.
Correct. For 300, this is what you might climb if you've been charged with 34 convictions beyond misdemeanors. So you could be charged with a misdemeanor or what's above that?
A crime.
Crime, a misdemeanor is a type of crime. These are two different kinds of crimes. I'm going to quote the First Wives Club here, and I think I'm just going to have to use the F word.
What is Mount Felonor?
There you go. Oh, Mount Felonor.
Sorry.
Felony.
I saw what you were doing there with what you number you quoted, but correct. I was trying to figure that out, and I couldn't.
Well, the phrase they've been using is 34 felony charges. Mm-hmm. For 400, this is the mountain you might climb in Australia if you were playing Stanley in Streetcar Named Desire and you screamed this two-word phrase to prevent your character's wife from doing something.
I'm going to stand back from the mic here. What is Mount?
Stella!
Nor.
That's right. But if you were to say it in Australian, it would be like...
Stella Nor.
Right, exactly. Like you're saying Stella, no.
Stella Nor.
Stella Nor. Exactly. And for 500... this is the mountain you might be climbing if you got to climb it with the actor from The Lord of the Rings who played Gandalf.
Who? What is Mount Ian McKellenor?
Ian McKellenor.
Mia McKellenor.
What is Mount Ian McKellenor? There you go.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Justin Dallard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.